Well, hello everyone. Phil Gigliotti here again on One in Messiah. And we are on the Messianic Lamb radio and TV. And this program is called One in Messiah. And if you've not seen any of these videos before, if you've not tuned into this show before, I always like to describe what started this ministry some years ago. We started in the spring of 2016. And it's based on the scriptures from Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15, where it says that Yeshua, in his own flesh, broke down the partition between the two, making one new man. And between the two, of course, Paul's talking about Jew and Gentile. Paul's talking about in the breaking of the flesh of Yeshua through his blood, a new covenant is made where Gentiles are part of it. Gentiles are in the kingdom. Gentiles are part of the kingdom, just like the chosen people of Israel were and are part of the kingdom. And so it's based on what Yeshua did. And the other scripture that I always like to use is in John 5:39, where Yeshua says, "All the scriptures testify of me. These are they that testify of me." So, in other words, all of the scripture is about him, not just part of the scripture, not just a little bit here and a little bit there, and not so much this book a little bit, this book not really at all, this book a lot. It's all the scripture is about him. It all points to him. There are all types and foretellings throughout the Tanakh. We see that through the Torah. We see that through the prophets. We see it through the writings. There's so many powerful prophecies of Messiah and so many powerful prophecies of what Messiah would do and how he would do it. And this is why I started this ministry in 2016. Before that, I had put together some teachings on studying Torah. And in fact, I put together a 33-part study of the Torah for Christians who don't really, I don't want to say know much, but don't really know much about Torah or haven't really been interested in studying it. And that whole series is based on what I just said. It shows the types and the foretellings and the shadows and the all the things that point to Messiah, to point to Yeshua when he finally does come, what he would do and how he would do it. And I've done it in a lot of Bible study groups, home groups, prayer groups. It doesn't really lend itself to doing at a church, but then about a year and a half or so ago, I decided to video the sessions while I was doing them at a Bible study group and put them on a YouTube channel called The Torah Class. So if you go to youtube.com and search for The Torah Class, it'll show up. There's an introduction and then there's 33 parts. And as we'll see later, but since I'm talking about YouTube, my regular YouTube channel is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. I know that's kind of long and a little awkward, but One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. And you can see all, not only the programs on Lamb, but you can see teachings from various places. You can see the live version of One in Messiah, which we do on Friday evenings, kind of an Erev Shabbat service, modified. And we, if you live in the Cleveland area, if you live in Greater Cleveland, we meet at 709 Brook Park Road, and we assemble about 6:15. It's usually about 6:30 when we start. So, I'd love to have you pop in and visit, and we do some praise and worship, messianic praise and worship, and we do, I do a teaching. Then we have some various prayer times and other activities. And so if you're in the greater Cleveland area, we'd love to have you pop in and say hello. And so, no, and also since I'm doing all this advertising, and you're going to see a slide at the end of the teaching that describes my two websites and podcast. And if you do live in the greater Cleveland area, well, actually it doesn't matter where you live because it's online. I have a radio program that's on every Sunday evenings at 7:30 on one of the local Christian channels here. And you can listen on thewordcleveland.com. It's thewordcleveland.com. 7:30 p.m. on Sundays, 7:30 p.m. A lot of my friends call me and say, I tried to listen to your show this morning and it wasn't on. It's 7:30 p.m. But anyway, that's enough advertising, I think. But like I said, there'll be a slide at the end where there might be a little more advertising. So today we're going to do a teaching from one of the Psalms. And it's, I think, very pertinent for the times that we live in. Because let's face it, even though the book of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, I don't think in the history of the world, maybe not even just before the flood, and not even in Sodom and Gomorrah, did the world experience what we're experiencing today. We know before the flood that the human heart was always set on evil. Everything that they did was evil. And we know the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and what was going on. And we see those things all around us today. But even in those times, people knew what marriage was. People knew what having children was about. People knew that there were certain moral laws that you lived by. People knew that people of the same sex could not be married. People knew that if you were a little boy, you could not become a little girl, and so on and so on. And even though there's always been rebellion, and there's always been a rebellion, the level that it's at now is really quite high. And I think everybody would agree. And it's a good friend of mine who's a teacher always says, if you don't realize that there's spiritual warfare going on around us, then you're already a casualty. Because it's so evident. And of course, we're living in the time that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2 of the great falling away, the great apostasy. And we've seen that happen, I don't know, over the course of the last 10 to 20 years, 15 to 20 years, I don't know exactly. But it's at this point unprecedented. Unprecedented. And so we live in an interesting time, and it's very easy to, number one, become discouraged. It's very easy to turn on the TV, to watch even 20 minutes of whatever news channel you put on, to put on some kind of entertainment channel, to watch some kind of new movie. And I have no idea what new movies are because we've pretty much stopped going to movies years ago, but you know what I mean. The media, the entertainment industry is just entirely taken over by this agenda, this demonic agenda, which is fighting against the body of Messiah, the church, fighting against God's moral law, fighting against any idea of obedience to a higher law, and having no concern whatsoever about what the ultimate result of this is, if you continue this through your life and don't repent. In fact, the idea of sin and repentance has pretty much disappeared. I always like to say nobody goes to more churches than I do, and you very rarely hear anybody talking about sin and repentance anymore like you did 20, 30 years ago. But this is where we are, so it's easy to be discouraged. But number two is it's also important to remember that we're here for such a time as this. And as we learn from the book of Esther, of course, we're here for such a time as this. And when you think about it, it's really amazing that God himself has put us here at this particular time, in this particular setting that I just briefly described, and I don't think it has to be described further. You can see it. That he put us here for this time to be his witnesses and to proclaim his gospel of salvation. Really quite remarkable. And I always like to also go back to Acts 17, when Paul is talking to the philosophers in Athens on the Areopagus. And he says, everybody came from one blood. You know, God created everybody. Everybody came from one blood. Everybody lives where they're supposed to live at the time they're supposed to live. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's the gist of it. We're here for such a time as this, like Esther was in the palace, in the Persian palace. We're here for such a time as this in this world. And those of us that are here today were meant to be here today, were basically selected to be here today. And that's really quite amazing. And it isn't because any of us individually are so awesome or we're so charismatic or we're so intelligent, we're so scholarly. It's because we've been sovereignly chosen. And I'm sure, and if you're like me, you love to hear people's testimonies, because I always love to hear what somebody was doing, how they met Yeshua, how their life changed, and what they're doing now. I still meet people who knew me years ago who say, wow, you didn't used to talk like that. I say, no, I didn't. And so, you know, I was in my mid-40s when I became a believer, when I came to the Lord. So it's a dramatic change. So we're here for such a time as this. And so that should encourage us all the time. And number three, we know that he still sits on the throne and he still reigns. We're going to talk about that in a little while, from Psalm 2. He still reigns. He has still set his king on the holy hill of Zion. He still sits on the throne. He still laughs, as the psalm tells us, at the plottings and the schemes of people who rebel against him, who encourage others to rebel against him. So that's our situation. That's our world situation. We may be discouraged from time to time, and that's a normal human emotion, but we know that he is reigning. This is not going to go on forever. And that we're here in some way to further his plan, some way to present the gospel to the world. And you hear the term commonly in Christian circles, you know, to a world that is dying. And wow, that is certainly true when we see what's going on around us. So we're going to go to a little teaching called Our Refuge and Strength. And this is going to mainly be from Psalm 46, although there's going to be some other scriptures added in. And I thought this was a particularly important topic for today, because number one, we have very little or no strength of our own. Very little. He's our refuge and our strength. If we're left to our own devices, we'll be afraid, we'll retreat from everything, and we'll want to go hide somewhere until the danger passes. I hear so many people say, well, this world is so messed up now that I just want to move out into the mountains somewhere and live in a little cabin. And I can understand that kind of thinking, but that is not what we're supposed to be doing. We're to engage the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. So this psalm talks about our refuge, a place where you hide. And it's more than just hiding. You hide securely. You hide in an environment of security. You hide in a safe place. Not to use that term that young people use, but you hide in a place where you are safe, you're protected, you're encouraged, and you're strengthened. And this is where our strength comes from, because we know where our strength comes from. Yeshua told his apostles, actually at the Last Supper in John's Gospel, about when the Holy Spirit would come, when the other paraclete would come, when the Ruach would come, when the Pneuma would come. What would happen? He would guide you in all truth. He would remind you of everything I said. If you're persecuted, if you're arrested, if you're on trial, he says, don't worry about your defense, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, will make the defense for you. So that's our strength. If we try to do this on our own, and again, I always like to use Peter as an example. You know, we did a whole bunch of teachings on Peter on Pentecost morning when he does his awesome sermon, his awesome teaching, immediately after the Holy Spirit falls in the upper room. And he talks to all those people, and 3,000 people come to the Lord, and he has this impact on this huge community of observant Jews that are in Israel. They're in Jerusalem, I should say, for the pilgrimage to celebrate Shavuot. And when you think about it, all those thousands of people that Peter encountered that morning, that he spoke to that morning, he couldn't have done that the day before, 2 days before, even the hour before, even 10 minutes before the outpouring in the upper room. And so his strength came from that. Our strength also comes from him, capital H. And so this talk's called Our Refuge and Strength. And this, of course, comes from Psalm 46. If I can make this a little better here. There we go. Psalm 46, starting at 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Wow. So he's our refuge and our strength, and a present help, not a help sometimes, not a help here and there. Not a help occasionally, not a help of, well, when he feels like showing up, not a help that may or may not be there. He's a very present help in times of trouble, very present. Now, King David is writing this 900 and some years before Messiah is on the earth, 900 and some years. He had very limited knowledge of these things compared to what we have. We know that when we repent of our sins, when we give our life to Yeshua, when we follow Yeshua as our Messiah, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, comes to live with us. He doesn't just show up once in a while. He doesn't just show up, man, when he feels like it. He doesn't just show up if we pray long enough and hard enough, or if we say the right kind of prayer. He lives within us. He lives within us. Yeshua said he'll guide us in all truth. And so he's a very present help. You're not going to have a time where he's not going to be there to help you. Therefore, we will not fear. So we're not going to be afraid. Does that mean we're never going to be afraid? No, of course not. But it also means we know that we have that help whenever we need it. So we should not be afraid. David says we shouldn't fear. We will not fear. Even though the earth be removed. Wow. You know, we get afraid of a doctor's appointment, or we get afraid of something that happens to our house. We get afraid of something that's going on in our neighborhood or in our country or somewhere else in the world. And we get fearful about these things. But he writes, even if the earth is removed, we shouldn't be afraid. Even if the mountains are thrown into the midst of the sea, we shouldn't be afraid. So if tomorrow morning you wake up and you turn the news on and it says that, I don't know, Pike's Peak's been thrown into the Pacific Ocean, and there it is out there, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid. We might be a little surprised, a little stunned, but we're not going to be afraid. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. So even though the waters are turbulent, the waters are roaring, the waters are troubled, and he's not just talking about the ocean, he's talking about all around us. He's talking about the situation that surrounds us, being troubled and roaring and just mountains shaking. Mountains can shake, the earth can shake, we can have major earthquakes as happen periodically over the world. Yeshua himself talked about when there's earthquakes in diverse places. You know, and people say, well, there's always been earthquakes. Well, that's true. But what he's talking about is when you see increasing numbers of earthquakes in increasing numbers of places tied in with all the other, again, prefigurements of what's going to be the sign of his coming. So the mountains can shake, the earth can shake, the oceans around us can be swelling, our whole life can shake in a few seconds time. I mean, literally in 5 seconds, your life can forever change. But we're not going to be afraid, even though these things happen. This is what David's telling us about. And then there's that great word, Selah, which is kind of like pause, take a break, contemplate this, think about this, and really try to get your mind around this. So the psalm begins with this clear, concise statement. In Hebrew, it's a superlative. It's like the best help, the best refuge, the best strength. It's superlative. And in the Hebrew, it also indicates that God will let us find it. He'll let himself be found. You know, the old verse of seek and you will find. You know, it's mentioned in Tanakh. It's mentioned in the New Testament. Yeshua talks about it. He'll let himself be found. And he'll be all sufficient for us. He will take care of our fear, and he'll take care of our doubt, and he'll take care of the human reaction that we have to things. Really quite remarkable. So if we seek him, he'll reveal himself. Even if these cataclysmic things happen that he talks about so poetically, even if these horrible things, these life-changing things happen, even if the whole order of creation is disrupted, he's going to be our refuge and our strength. He's going to be our help in times of trouble. He's going to be our strength. You know, people since COVID began, really, and since all these other things, you know, people have been talking about how everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. The whole world is shaking, which goes along with this psalm, that even though these cataclysmic things happen, if we seek him, he's our refuge and our strength. He'll protect us, refuge. He'll give us strength. And also, because we live our lives listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide us in what we should do. So as King David says, we should not fear. We should be fearless. I'm not going to get into this. He addresses this psalm to the sons of Korah. You know, Korah from number 16 was a big rebellion against Moses. And I'm not going to get into all that, but it's addressed to people that are also in rebellion. And as I mentioned long-windedly, the whole world is in rebellion. We're here. He's our refuge and our help. He's going to give us the strength and guide us in what we should be doing in these times of rebellion. So it's really quite remarkable. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. So what is he talking about here? Oh, verse 5 first. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So something's happening in this city. There's a river. A river in the desert brings life. Ezekiel 47 talks about the river that goes out from the temple and goes into the desolate areas, and plants grow and animals come, and even the Dead Sea comes to life. Yeshua talked about living water. If you come to him, you'll have living water. Fountains of living water, rivers of living water, all this stuff will be in you, he says. It'll be in you, not just beside you, but in you. And of course, living water is the Holy Spirit. Living water is the Holy Spirit that brings life. It's a river that goes through a barren place and brings life and creates a city of God. And so this is a very important concept of the Spirit moving in the midst of her. God's in the midst of us through all of this. He not only knows what we're going through, and not only knows what, of course, the whole world is going through, he's in charge of it. It's not a surprise to him. He's in the midst of us. The Spirit's guiding us, guiding the church, the body of believers. And as I always like to add, there are not two bodies of Messiah. There is one. There's not a Jewish body and a Gentile body. There's one body of Messiah. So I always have to throw that in, because there's a lot of ideas knocking around. But the Spirit's guiding the body of believers, the church, while we're in the middle of this mess, he's in the midst of us as our refuge and our strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Who's with us? The Lord of hosts. Lord, all capital letters, that's his name. You know that. Hosts are the hosts of heaven. There are, I can't remember now how many times in the Tanakh that the term Lord of hosts is used. I don't remember, again, I think it's like 5 or 6, and I can't remember if it's used in the New Testament or not, or how many times it is, if it is. But Lord of hosts is a very powerful term. It's Adonai Elohim Tzavaot. Isaiah experiences this. We talked about this a few weeks ago in a study that we did here. The Lord of hosts, the Lord who controls all the armies of angels, all the hosts of heaven, all the powers of heaven, is with us. And we know who that is. He's the God of Jacob. And he's our refuge. Selah. So think about that. Reflect on that for a while. Use that as a meditation. I mean, meditation in the good sense, not an Eastern meditation, but you know what I mean, I think. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The whole power of the universe, the whole created order of the universe, which is under his control. He's Lord of hosts. He's Lord of it all. He's the God of Jacob, and he's our refuge. So that should be pretty encouraging. So there's no question about who this is. There's no question about his identity. He identifies himself. He's the God of Jacob. You know, many times in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how he identifies himself. So there's no question of who we're talking about. There's no question of who's talking to us. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, I'm the God of Israel. I'm the one who's the Lord of hosts. I'm the one who's your refuge and strength. I'm the God of Jacob. And it's also identified as the God of hosts. You know, this is a military reference. You know, there's angel armies. I love the Chris Tomlin song, The God of Angel Armies. You know, it's a military reference. And this is the one who's on our side, the one who commands all of this, the one who, in whom everything subsists, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. He's the one who's on our side. And he's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the Father, he is Yeshua, he is the Ruach. And so there's no question who is talking here. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. So he has unlimited power. He controls the nations. He lets a war start. He lets a war stop. He causes a war to stop. Causes the weapons to change. Changes the course of history. Nothing that's going on now is a surprise. Nothing that's going on now is out of his control, so to speak. He can change the course of history. He controls the course of history. And he will ultimately destroy his enemies. The Psalms are full of this imagery. The book of Revelation is full of this imagery. And many other places that, you know, we could spend all day on. You know, his enemies are going to become his footstool. His footstool. This is the image of when a people were conquered, the king who was conquered would come before the king who was victorious and would bow down in front of him, and the victorious king would put his foot on the back of the other king's neck. And this is the idea that he's been completely conquered now. He's under the winning king's foot. This is the ultimate submission. And his enemies, meaning Yeshua, the enemies are going to become his footstool. His enemies now are raging around, and they think that they're really doing well, and they think that they're subduing the world, and they think that they are taking over the world, and they think that a new world is coming, and they're completely convinced that their strategy is working and will work. But they don't realize that they will end up trembling under his feet when his foot is on their neck. And of course, that's not the worst that's going to happen to them, but that's another story. In Numbers 10, you know, reflecting back on this, I thought about Numbers 10. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee from before you." His enemies are going to flee, but they're not going to be able to get away. They're going to become his footstool. And Yeshua says this to his group after Peter does his great confession at Caesarea Philippi. "Who do you say that I am?" Which is, by the way, a question every single person has to answer. Every single person in their life has to answer, "Who do you say that I am?" And your whole destiny depends on that answer. You know, there's so many people that say, "Well, Jesus was a good teacher. He was a philosopher. He taught us how to live," you know, kind of like Buddha and Confucius and all those other guys. Well, if that's your answer, wrong answer. Your eternal destiny will not be good. So when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," what he's saying is, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. That's who you are. And Yeshua answers him, 16:18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Nothing is going to prevail. No one is going to prevail against the enemies of Messiah, against the enemies of God, against the enemies of the kingdom. They're going to become his footstool. Footstool. And so it doesn't matter what these people now who are going around, you know, trying to change the world, we should not be fearful of them, because number one, we know our destiny. And number two is we know their destiny. So it's not as it seems. It can seem like a hopeless situation, but it's not. The enemies will be defeated. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That's verse 10. Very well-known passage. "Be still and know that I am God." So in other words, relax, sit back, get rid of your fear, be still, and know that I am God. I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted in the earth. It doesn't matter what the nations are doing now. It doesn't matter what the earth is doing now. I'm going to be exalted there. Nations, of course, refers to Gentiles. He is exalted among the Gentiles, has been exalted among the Gentiles, because the kingdom of Yeshua is for Gentiles too. But when we look at the situation we're in now in the world, we can see that he's going to be exalted throughout the world. He'll be exalted in the earth. It doesn't matter now that they're not exalting him. It doesn't matter now that society has pushed God to the horizon and then off the horizon. that we don't need this anymore. He is still going to be exalted, and that's going to happen one way or another. So sit, be still, have patience. You know, and as he says, you seek me and you'll find me. Pray. And of course, the scripture is full of this, and we mostly talk about it from Paul in the New Testament. We have nothing to boast about because we're not doing this. That's why he says, I'm your refuge and your strength, not you. This is my plan, not your plan. This is the plan that was devised before the creation of the world. You had nothing to do with it. You weren't around then. You're not my counselor. You're not my advisor telling me, but maybe you should do this. Maybe we should do it this way. We have no room for boasting because we can't boast about anything, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, also in Ephesians 2. We're saved by grace through faith and not by works, so that no man can boast. We can't boast about being saved. We can't boast about what's going on in the world or what our part of it is. He sovereignly picked us to be here, and we have no room for boasting. So we remember what he's done in the past and keep in mind what he's doing now. And we're going to see, I think, shortly, that his power is going to be shown. And he's going to get the glory, of course. His power is going to be shown. And all of these very vocal, powerful enemies that are going through the world now are going to suddenly be in for a big surprise. We are not going to be surprised. We are doing what we are to be doing, being here at this time. So sure, we face threats. We face persecutions. But we can still be still. We can still be quiet. We can still think about these things. We can still know, as it says in that first verse, he's ever-present help. He's always present. He's always a refuge, and he's always going to be our strength. And the way it's stated in the Hebrew, there's no question about this. Everything is superlative. It's huge. It's fantastic. It's the best of everything. It's superlative. So we can be still in that, even though the mountains are thrown into the sea and the earth gets shaken and the waves are billowing and all this stuff. Because the forces that move things on earth also move around us in spiritual ways and even in personal ways. And of course, as I mentioned before in Psalm 2, he laughs at the enemies. He laughs. He doesn't care about their self-esteem. He laughs. Psalm 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Now see what's happening here. The kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, get together. They set themselves. They advise each other. They take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Well, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I think we're going to do. Here's how we're going to make a better world. Here's how we're going to break these cords. I don't know if you saw, I don't know how many years, probably 3 or 4 years ago now, when abortion was legalized in Ireland, there were hundreds of thousands, couple of million people dancing in the street, literally dancing in the street And when they talked with these people who were dancing and celebrating, they all told news reporters that we finally broke the power of the church over us. So, okay, they're talking about Ireland. They're talking about the Catholic Church. They're talking about, oh, we don't have to deal with all that stuff anymore because now we made our own law. Doesn't matter what the denomination is. Doesn't matter where you live. This is the rebellion that's going on everywhere. The leaders take counsel together of how they're going to break his bonds into pieces. Pieces. They're not just going to have some little rebellion and say, well, we don't really agree with that anymore. They break the bonds into pieces. We want to throw his laws. We want to throw any obstruction to what we want to do away from us. We're going to cast their cords from us. And what's God's reaction? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord, all capital letters, that's God's name, shall hold them in derision. Laughs at their plans. Holds them in derision. He's going to be exalted on the earth. Doesn't just say, I'll be exalted in the church. I'll be exalted among the believers. I'll be exalted among the people that, you know, listen to me or the people that want to follow. He says, I'm going to be exalted in the earth, not just in the church. Selah, think about that. Meditate on that. Reflect on that. He's going to be exalted in the whole earth. You know, like in Philippians 2, every knee is going to bow. You and I are going to bow willingly. We're going to bow our knee willingly. But for people who aren't bowing their knee willingly, they will. When Yeshua comes back in the book of Revelation, he has an iron rod in his hand. So he can make you bow whether you want to bow your knee or not. So everyone, some people just immediately before they go to hell are going to bow their knee and say that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, Paul says this so powerfully. Everyone is going to say Yeshua is Lord. He's going to be exalted in the whole earth, even to the people that are now rebelling against him, the people that don't want anything to do with him, the people that reject not only his lordship, but even his moral law, every standard of society, even the natural law, are going to bow their knee, even if they don't want to do it. He's going to be exalted in all the earth. So all these things going on around us now, all these people through the world that seem to have this great power of changing everything, he's laughing at them. He is setting everything up so that he is going to be exalted. So we do live in a very exciting time. We are in a very exciting time. And like I said, it's amazing that we're here for such a time as this. Amazing. We couldn't have planned it. We couldn't have set it up so that it would happen, because this was set up before the foundation of the world. This was set up before anything was even created. And so we shouldn't have fear. we shouldn't be discouraged because we know where our refuge and our strength are. We know that the as the song says, the God of angel armies is always by our side. We can't even begin to imagine the power that's involved on our side. And so I agree with King David when he says, Selah, think about this. Be still, be quiet. Know who's in charge. Know what the overall situation is going to be. It may not look like that now. In fact, it doesn't look like that now. But it's going to change. His enemies are going to become his footstools. We have some role to play in that. So as easy as it is to get discouraged, we know that ultimately he will triumph and we are involved in the bringing in of this kingdom, the final setup of the kingdom. Because we're here for such a time as this. That's awesome. So don't be discouraged. So here's the little advertising I was telling you about before. So I wanted to make sure I got back to it. Two websites. Oneinmessiah.website, giftofgraceministries.org. And there's also a podcast you can find at any platform that has podcasts. You can search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. It'll show up. And YouTube, the YouTube channel where you can find these programs, plus the teachings from Friday night, plus the teachings from other places. The YouTube channel is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. So log on to that and, well, I hope you found this interesting because, you know, if you're like me, people talk to me all the time about, well, how can we not be discouraged? Everything is so overwhelming. And this is what led me to Psalm 46. Everybody knows the part about be still and know that I am God, but the part about the being our refuge and strength is, to me, the real overwhelmingly important part. So I'm glad you joined us, and I hope you'll come back again next week. And we'll have another teaching. We have some interviews coming up. I hope you enjoyed the ones the last few weeks with Rabbi William from Shar Shalom in Mansfield, Ohio, and my friend Stephanie Pavlantos from Basora Institute, and we have Scott Volk recently from Together with Israel. We have some other interesting interviews also coming up. So join us next week, and we'll see you soon.